I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Like I mentioned, we have two special guests for you. Our first is Kenny Irish back with us, also known as KW, author, musician, marketing professional with a lifelong love of monsters, UFO stories, writing and public speaking at writers groups and various other platforms across the country. He continues his journey focusing on both fiction and nonfiction. KW is also a researcher for the New York Bigfoot Society, co-host of the NYBS radio show as well. Kenny, welcome back. How are you?
I'm fantastic, George. Thanks for having me back on. It's always a pleasure.
How did you get interested in cryptids?
Oh, boy. I just I grew up in northern Vermont and right next to Lake Champlain, and I just loved Godzilla and King Kong and monsters like that. I was about four or five years old, right around that age range when I think it was like my aunt's friend or something said, you know, Godzilla lives in Lake Champlain, right? And I was like, what are you talking about? And then that's when I first heard about Champ, the Lake Champlain monster, and hooked. I was hooked from there on. And so right around 4 or 5 years old was when I really, really got hooked and just dragged into the craziness of cryptids.
I got the bug from the Loch Ness Monster when I was a kid and the Abominable Snowman in the Himalayas. I did not know that much about Sasquatch until years later when I realized there's another creature here like the Abominable Snowman who has brown hair instead of white hair, and then I got hooked on that too.
Yeah, it was funny because I had heard of Sasquatch, growing up, but my understanding was there was one and it was just running around all over the world. Other than that, I never really heard a whole lot about it. And then my senior year in high school, I was one of the classes I was taking. It was called Gothic Tales, and they ended up doing a segment on monsters and cryptids, and that's when they played like the Patterson-Gimlin footage. Yep. And everything. And that's when, you know, I started looking into it more and more because, you know, for me, it was always just kind of like, you know, the whole Champ thing where there's just one in Lake Champlain, you know, never really looked further than that. You know, I heard, you know, different stories, but it wasn't until I was probably 17 or 18 before I really, really started, you know, diving into Sasquatch.
You have sent us a video that we've got posted at coasttocoastam.com right under your name and Stacy's name of some basically heat-censored video of what could be a Bigfoot, and you got to really stare at it for a while and just watch it through its whole length. It's not that long, but you will see a creature that looks like Bigfoot in shadow form going by. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember the first time that I came on the show with you, one of the questions you asked me was, what's the best evidence you've ever seen? And I remember, like, that's what that, even to this day, it's that thermal image. But I'm going to, you know, Stacy's the one that got that footage with his dad, so I don't want to go too much in it and ruin it.
Since you've been doing this, what is your take on Sasquatch? What do you think this creature is?
Boy, I'll tell you, if you asked me a year ago, I'd tell you something different than I'll tell you now. It seems like the more I get deeper into it, the less I understand. And, you know, there's so many reasons why it could be flesh and blood, and there's so many reasons why it could be extraterrestrial, and even potentially interdimensional. You know, I never thought I'd actually hear myself saying that, but I've gotten to a point where I've talked to so many credible people that it's just, I can't stand the flesh and blood side as much as I used to. I'm like 50% flesh and blood now, where before I was probably 90-95%. So it really comes down to, you know, a lot of the folks who I've talked to, and the more that I dive into it. Plus, the other thing is, I don't want to draw a line in the sand and say I stand on one side of it, because as somebody who researches the phenomenon, I feel like I'm kind of like doing the subject a disservice, as well as not really being a researcher, if I already have my mind made up on what it is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it sure does. It really does. And besides talking to people about this, what is kind of pushing you in that direction, that it's possible interdimensional or ET?
Well, in the back of my mind, I've always considered it to be extraterrestrial, because extraterrestrial can be flesh and blood. But I'd say it's just a lot of the reading that I've done as well. Again, when I kind of started to step away from the, you know, hey, it's 90-95% flesh and blood, when I started stepping away from that and kind of looking into other publications, other documentation, in reading it, and then, you know, the people that wrote it, you know, following up with those individuals, you know, researching them to find out kind of where they come from and what they're all about. Because sometimes, you know, to be honest with you, what I found is sometimes when you research the individual that's made the claim, you can kind of find out.
Yeah, sometimes you can.
Yeah. So, and, you know, I've come across some very, very, you know, credible people that really had no reason to even say what they were saying, and you know, how they were living their lives. So, you know, it's really kind of pushed me kind of in an area I was kind of concerned about going into, because when you feel like you've kind of got a handle on it, it's kind of okay to move forward with it, but then it's one of those subjects that the second you feel like you've got an answer, now you've got 10 questions, you know, added on top of that answer. But that's also what keeps me going in this, is I love the mystery. I embrace the mystery of it, the legend of it, and it, you know, for some people it's a matter of, you know, seeing one and being able to, you know, for some people even communicate with them. For me, it's really the legend behind it and the mystery behind it that's really intrigues me.
Kenny, would you say that George Lucas's Star Wars, that Chewbacca, looks exactly like a Bigfoot?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, because I remember when I was talking with somebody who they had mentioned that they had an encounter with an extraterrestrial themselves. They had mentioned that Sasquatch could very well be extraterrestrial, based off of Star Wars. I mean, and I'd never even put that together. I'd never even thought about it until they'd said that. They're like, you know, of course they're extraterrestrial. Look at Chewbacca. They're like, doesn't he look like a Bigfoot? And I was just, my mind was kind of like blown. It was one of those moments where I'm just like, oh, you know, I never even put that together. But yeah, I mean, Chewbacca looks just like what, you know, most people claim to see. And it's the same thing with, like, you know, like, for instance, like Dogman, some folks say that they believe Dogman is extraterrestrial, which, you know, I guess it very well could be.
Does anybody ever associate craft in the vicinity with Sasquatch?
Associate what? I'm sorry?
Craft, a flying saucer in the vicinity.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a lot of the time there's a report of some type of craft that's in the in the sky, some type of extraterrestrial looking, if you will, spacecraft in the distance. Some folks have actually claimed that they've seen some actually come down onto the ground and seen a Sasquatch actually walk up a ramp and go inside of one. So there have been reports of that.
Tell me your research program. How do you go out and search for this creature?
Well, the first thing that we do with the group that I'm with, the New York Bigfoot Society, is first and foremost, it's, you know, our main objective is to come out alive. So
that would be good.
Yeah. First and foremost, we make sure that everybody is trained to above the basics of surviving in the woods and having what they need on with them. Where a lot of folks, you know, I've seen in the past, have just kind of like gone out in the woods, you know, with like a couple snacks and some water, and that's it. So our first approach is just to make sure, you know, we've got everything that we need. And then, you know, like many groups, you know, we try to collect data, but with the data that we collect and the information that we collect from our findings, the only thing that we will bring back will be something that we can't explain away. The other method that we use is we use a lot of animal behavior in the woods, because animals in the woods will tell you a lot about what's happening in that time frame. For instance, we've put up trail cams before, and we've put food out, and for 2 weeks, nothing touched the food. It just sat there. And then we let the trail cams up, and 2 weeks later we came back and all the food's gone. There's animals on the picture. So we also try to follow animal behavior and try to find patterns within them being present and when they're leaving, because obviously there's something there that's an alpha predator that's making them stay inside and not want to come out. That doesn't necessarily mean it's a Bigfoot, it's a Sasquatch, it's a Dogman, or anything like that. It could just be a bear. But it still gives us an idea of when to go back into the woods, look for different patterns, and try to see, you know, if there's anything to those patterns and why those animals would be hiding and what they would be hiding from.
How many books do you have out now, Kenny?
Right now I have three are out. So I've got one called Stanley Riker and the Bigfoot Runaround. That was released in 2020 through Dark Moon Press. Mm-hmm. That is actually a young reader's chapter book. It's about three friends that go to a camp for the weekend, and the camp counselor tells them that, hey, you know, there's been some Bigfoot sightings in the area, and due to that, they could potentially have to close the camp down. So the three third-grade young friends, they just go out on a mission to try to come up with, you know, proof of the Bigfoot and capture it and save their camp. So that was in 2020. And then American Cryptids in Pursuit of the Elusive Creatures released this year in March, and has done phenomenal. It hit number one as a bestseller twice on Amazon, and it just covers all 50 states. Basically, each chapter starts out with some history on the state, mm-hmm. and then goes into like Native American lore and how the Native Americans in that state lived. And then it goes into like whatever the popular cryptid is of that state. Like, for instance, if it's West Virginia, it's the Mothman. And then each chapter closes out with a Bigfoot sighting that I was able to obtain from the state. And so it covers all 50 states in that manner.
Why do you think science is not pursuing this? You would think they'd be all over this story.
Yeah, you know, I'm just wondering if they're not allowed to yet. You know, it's just a little over a year ago that, you know, it's UFOs are now being considered as realistic, where, you know, before it was just kind of, it was weather balloons, and you know, now the government's saying that, you know, UFOs exist. So I don't know. I have to think that maybe they're not allowed to pursue it at this point. I don't know.
Is that what your gut tells you?
A little bit. To a degree. I think, you know, there's more going on than, let's say, and I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, but at the same time, in this subject, I have to think a little that way. I do believe that, you know, there is something going on, and the government does know about it, and I think at some point in time, they're going to be able to possibly allow science to actually say that, you know, this phenomenon is real.
We don't hear anything negative about Sasquatch or Bigfoot. We don't hear anything in terms of them attacking people, killing people. I don't hear that. Do you?
No. I've heard, you know, of some encounters, but they're normally trying to get away. It's normally not a, you know, like a any type of violent act. Again, I have come across some, and I do have some in my book, but for the most part, they're usually, you know, trying to kind of get away or get out of the area. The majority of when I hear of any type of encounter being violent, it's usually like a dogman type of encounter that seems to be it seems to be the norm when talking with individuals who believe, you know, that they didn't see a Sasquatch, that they actually saw a dog man.
One of the great stories that I got, Kenny, on this show was during Open Lines a couple of years ago, where an individual was out fishing in the woods with a little river creek, and he stumbled across what he said was a Sasquatch about 10 feet away from him, looking directly at him. And this guy had caught two trout, and he's holding them in his hands, one in each. And the Bigfoot is staring at the fish. And the guy went, oh, my God. So he gave them to the Bigfoot. And the Bigfoot took them, looked at him, and gave him one back. I love that story.
Yeah. No, that's awesome.
I mean, that tells you that if that's a real story, that the creature has some kind of thinking power behind it.
Well, you know, a lot of the information that I've gathered and research I've done has been based off of, you know, what the Native Americans have passed down from generation to generation. And, you know, a lot of the tribes, you know, some did have some not so good run-ins according to their history. But a lot of them, you know, said that they lived in harmony with them and they lived beside them. So I have to believe that, you know, there was definitely a time where interaction was more common than it is nowadays. I mean, now it's we call it an encounter, and it's usually a 5-second sighting, where when you research on the Native American side, I mean, they lived side by side and in harmony with them. So I would have to believe that there was sharing going on.
I could see that happening, the side-by-side living arrangement.
Yeah.
That could probably be. Do you get many stories of little babies, Bigfoot babies?
You know, I don't. I've heard a few, but not really. They're very far and few in between. I probably would say, in the last, let's just say, 5 years, I've maybe one, if at all. definitely not a lot. I definitely have not had a lot of those reported to me.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.